that suffering, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands, and the doorkeeper, he commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at the cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep alert. The word of our Lord. Have a seat. Come on down, kids. Come on. Bryce. Mahogany. Daniel. Where is Daniel? Daniel. Come on down. Oh, you're going to want to come down this morning. Jeepers. All right. Did you guys eat turkey or ham for Thanksgiving? Did you eat and eat and eat?
I ate turkey.
You didn't. Oh, my goodness. So what's next? What's the next holiday, kids?
Christmas.
Christmas? You're decorating today. All right, let me tell you something. Well, let me ask you something. Bryce, what do you want for Christmas?
A drum.
Mahogany. A toy dog, one that does all kinds of stuff. What do you want? A what? Car monster trucks. And can you wait till Christmas? Isn't it so hard to wait?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's hard. I know. Did you ever make the little rings and stick them together and then you take off a ring every day to count down to Christmas? Have you ever done that?
That's what I'm getting for Christmas.
What?
A phone.
A phone? Mom, she's getting a phone for Christmas, she says. Well, I have something for you to help count those days. It's called an Advent calendar because we really do need to go through Advent before we get to Christmas. And every day, you got to find the number for that day. Like tomorrow, you can't do this till tomorrow. You got to find the number one, and you open the little door, and behind it is some chocolate. Okay? And you can only open one door each day. All right? And you can color the back. Don't you cheat and open them all up. I had a couple of kids that did that. Wait. Bryce, we're not done. Here you go. You want to give one of these to your brother? Mahogany, will you give this to your brother?
Yeah.
All right? And that will help you. Did you not listen to what I just said?
I'm going to give it to my brother.
There you go. Jeepers. All right, kids. Waiting is hard, but maybe this will help you count the days. Now let's pray. Put your Advent calendars down. Look at me. Bryce, Mahogany. Eyeballs. Ready? Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us Jesus to love us and to care for us. Amen. All right. Now, every day that you open one of those calendar days until the very end, you have to be good. All right, go back to your seat. You have to be good. Or maybe it's not chocolate. Maybe it's something else. I come to you this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Are you a somnambulist? Do you suffer from the effects of somnambulism? Okay, so I learned a new word this week. It's somnambulism. It's a fancy term for sleepwalking. I ran across it in a commentary, and it kind of leaped off the page and made a lot of sense to me with this gospel lesson today. When Jesus told his disciples to stay awake, that the day of the Lord would come like a master returning unexpectedly from a long journey, or like a thief in the night, as Paul says, he didn't mean we couldn't ever go to sleep. He just meant for us to stay alert, pay attention to what's going on around us, and not to be caught off guard. And when you think about it, that's kind of the opposite of sleepwalking. Sleepwalkers go through the motions, but they don't know where they are or what they're doing. And when they finally wake up, they're sometimes disoriented and confused. When I was a young kid, I used to sleepwalk a lot. And I can remember repeatedly my father having to stay alert because he'd find me walking down the alley and have to come and get me. Or I'd be outside in the swing. Or I'd be in the middle of my bedroom taking my jewelry box out and taking everything out of it. And then the next morning I'd be yelling at everybody, "Why were you in my stuff?" But I was sleepwalking. It was me. It used to be said that it's dangerous to wake a sleepwalker up, that it could kill them. But that's kind of like those little wives' tale. It's simply a sleep disorder, and it happens when you're in your deep, restful part of your sleep, which is supposed to be the time when you get most of your rest. But this is a sleep disorder that is common in young children. Instead, sleepwalkers do the activities that they typically do when they're awake, such as talking, sitting up, looking around, getting out of bed, roaming the house. Or in adults, it's been recorded that they even drive the car and come back home, and they're still in a deep sleep. Now, thank goodness I was too young to drive a car, but I did go down the alley, and my dad would come and get me. And sleepwalkers are difficult to awaken. They don't recall anything going on. They don't know what they've done. And worse, if you startle them, they may attack because it scares them and they don't know what's going on. But my dad, I can remember this so clearly. My dad would walk up to me, he always called me Sissy. It was, "Sissy, what are you doing?" "I came downstairs to get what you told me to get." "I didn't tell you to get anything." "Yes, you did." You know, and I would argue with him. When he caught me going down the alley, I had no, "Dad, I don't know. You're here. What am I doing here?" You know, so sleepwalking can be a little bit nerve-wracking, but typically children outgrow this phase, and I did outgrow that phase. Jesus tells his disciples, "Watch, keep alert, and pray, for you don't know when the time is coming." My dad had to keep alert. He didn't stay awake, but he did hear me when I left the house. Excuse me. Well, this is what I hope you get out of the sermon today. If we are going to stand strong in our faith, we need to guard against the threat of somnambulism. I can never get that out. Because if you're not paying attention, the world's going to pass you by. And whatever influence you might have had to further God's kingdom on earth, it's going to be lost. The point is, our world is changing at warp speed. And the word to the wise is, be alert. Pay attention. Take stock of what's going on around you. Because the greatest threat to our faith is not atheism. The greatest threat to the well-being of our country is not terrorism. It's somnambulism. Going through the motion of life oblivious to the dangers surrounding you. And so what's the solution? Is there a cure for somnambulism? If it were a simple case of sleepwalking, I'd say yes, most children outgrow it. But for us, it's more complex. And Jesus put it this way. Now from the fig tree, learn the parable. When the branch has become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know the summer is near. We all know what that means when you go outside and you see all the birds headed south. You know it's time to get the coats out and the sweaters out because the weather's going to get cold, right? We have these signs. We have these things that we can watch out for. So why don't we simply read the signs of our time and take action? Well, one reason is we're not paying attention. Read the newspaper. Watch the news. We pretend we're not in trouble as a nation. I think we're walking in our sleep. I recently went back and reread the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. And here's the story in the nutshell. Wormwood is a protege of his uncle Screwtape, who writes him letters coaching him in the art of winning the soul of a young Christian for Satan. Among other things, Screwtape advises Wormwood, do not argue with or openly confront the young Christian. Otherwise, he's liable to develop his powers of reason and self-determination. Instead, Screwtape counsels Wormwood to distract and placate the young believer, all the while reassuring him that everything is okay. There's no reason to worry. Let his natural instincts toward pleasure and personal pursuit lead him to take the easy road of self-indulgence, Screwtape says. Well, long story short, Wormwood fails. The young Christian keeps his faith, dies in World War II, and goes to heaven. Screwtape tells Wormwood to cut your losses, work even harder to win the next soul that he encounters. It's a classic little book. It is little. If you haven't read it, go read it. And if you have read it, it's time to reread it. And then compare it to the commentary I'm going to read you from Paul Harvey. Do you guys remember Paul Harvey? Yeah? And what was his byline? And now for the rest of the story. He died in 2009. I have to tell you, I miss his show. I used to listen to it every Saturday. In his essay, he says, if I were the devil, I would gain control of the most powerful nation in the world. I would delude the minds of the people into thinking that they had come from man's effort instead of God's blessings. I would promote an attitude of loving things and using people instead of the other way around. I would dupe entire states into relying on gambling for their state revenue. I would convince people that character is not an issue. I would make it legal to take the life of unborn children. I would make it sociably acceptable to take one's own life and invent machines to make it convenient. I would take God out of the schools where even the mention of his name was a grounds for a lawsuit. I would come up with drugs that sedate the mind and target the young. And I would get sports heroes to advertise them. I would get control of the media so that every night I could pollute the minds of every family member for my agenda. I would attack the family, the backbone of any nation. I would compel people to express their most depraved fantasies on canvas and movie screens, and I would call it art. I would convince the people that right and wrong are determined by a few who call themselves authorities and refer to their agendas as politically correct. I would persuade people that the church is irrelevant and out of date and that the Bible is naive. I would dull the minds of Christians, make them believe that prayer is not important and that faithfulness and obedience are optional. I would, well, come to think of it, I would leave things pretty much the way they are. Paul Harvey. Here's the bottom line. The world is changing faster than we can even fathom, and we are called to stay alert, pay attention, take stock as to what's going on around us. We are called to stand up and speak out for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. After all, it's his coming that motivates us and inspires us, for his promise is in the moment of his coming that the evils of the world will be overcome and we shall experience the joy of his salvation forevermore. Until that day, let's pray without ceasing. Come, Lord Jesus, come. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us stand.